Dear ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the conference call of WashTec AG. At our customer's request, this conference call will be recorded. As a reminder, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and after the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. If any participant has difficulties hearing the conference, you may press star followed by zero on your telephone for operator assistance. May I now hand you over to Dr. Kofi, who will lead you through this conference. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to welcome you to the presentation of the WashTec financial statement of the first quarter 2020. With me here in the room are my colleagues CFO Axel Jäger and Sergey Volodin, Head of Global Finance and Accounting. Next slide, please. Before we come to the presentation and the figures of the first quarter of 2020, let me present a few words, say a few words about WashTec's present situation with regard to the COVID-19 pandemic crisis. The current situation regarding COVID-19 changing rapidly and needs fast adaptation. WashTec's management's priority is to protect the health of all employees to be able to ensure business continuity. At the same time, we focus on cash management. The constant monitoring of the supply chain and suppliers is of great importance. We were successful so far and did not have large impacts here. Regarding China, we are also able to see positive effects. Production has almost completely resumed and the machines sold are likely to come back to the prior year's level. Another challenge in the situation is the closure of customer sites, which makes it more difficult for us to provide service installations. There are also signs of declining washing figures in some countries due to the initial restrictions have been observed. I will come back to this later. Of course, the effects and challenge of the COVID-19 pandemic have a different impact in different countries, making it very difficult to make a general statement so far. The consequences of this pandemic cannot be yet assessed. However, WashTec's advantage and strength is that we, as a company with global footprint, can react adequately to the situation on a local level. Also, digitalization helped us, both of machines and internally, in serving machines and internally to observe the situation and to understand the crisis, and I will present this later on a slide. I would now like to move away from COVID-19 to our actual topic of Q1 figures and say a few words about WashTec's business model and current initiatives. Next slide, please. As with the last call, before we will present the final financial figures, I would like to give you a brief overview on the topics listed on this slide. I will briefly explain the WashTec business model and focus on the three most important priority topics, which is company culture, our performance program, and innovation by digital transformation. Next slide, please. As many of you already know, WashTec's business model consists of three areas. The WashTec product range comprises all types of vehicle wash equipment as well as the associated peripheral devices, wash chemicals, and water reclaim systems. WashTec also offers comprehensive servicing packages spanning the entire product life cycle, including equipment maintenance, financing arrangements, and operator management. The main revenue driver is the equipment and service product range. Next slide. The goal of WashTec is to focus on customer benefit in combination with entrepreneurship of employees. Digital transformation of products, services, and business models can only be successful when the customer benefit is defined and proven to be valid. The COVID-19 pandemic accelerated our internal business to be executed online. For example, a large number of employees were sent to the home in order to minimize the risk of the plant closing down. Important meetings are being held using video conferences. The change into, we call it internal digitalization, was successfully executed within 3 days. But we also see how digitalization helps the customer in the crisis. not only remote access to the machine, but also the evaluation of the washing figures have been very helpful. Working digital increase the efficiency. We have observed this strongly, and this will remain as a result, outcoming result out of this crisis. Because we see these advantages, we are taking this up and are constantly and even more effectively driving forward digitalization at WashTec. Next slide, please. We have launched our performance program, which consists of an operational excellence program to streamline processes and cut costs in all parts of the business. This slide shows the overall approach and dependencies. We have presented this already at our last call on March 28th. I don't want to repeat that. You may ask questions about this. Structural changes are driven by the headcount reduction, that is the program bringing us down to the same headcount as of the end of 2017 by the end of 2020. This program has been accelerated and further adjustment of headcounts have been initiated by a strong restructuring program in North America. We also reduced the number of temporary workers and prepared an execution plan to introduce short-time working. We call it in German Kurzarbeit. The correct term is part-time unemployment. In the departments that require the adaptation of the business activity and capacity to the economic situation under COVID-19. The measures taken will enable us to react quickly to the respective situation. With this, we are sure that we have fast and effectively reacted on the crisis so far. Next slide, please. The last time I explained to you that WashTec is working on digital transformation in all its areas, for example, digital functions that are integrated in our new rollover system. Today, I would like to show you that digitalization is of great benefit to the operators of our machines. On the slide, on the right side, you can see the average washing figures in the first quarter of the year, once for Germany and once for China. The chart shows a multi-year comparison of the years 2018, this is in blue color, 2019 in red color, and 2020 in green color. In China, for example, you can see very clearly the average wash figures for the first quarter of 2020 are significantly lower than the previous year, which is certainly also related to the restrictions due to Corona. What is the benefit of such an evaluation for the operator? In general, the evaluation of the wash figures allows the operator to explain its resources and to plan them ahead, employees' chemical consumption, and to correlate this data with the data of weather and vacation season and start the flexibilization of the wash business. At WashTec, we were able to observe in real time the impact of COVID-19 on the wash figures of our customers and plan our business accordingly. What you don't see, I have not taken this in, but the wash figures in Southern Europe, especially in France, Italy and Spain, were down significantly compared to the wash figures in Germany. This indicates that in these states of Southern Europe, the restrictions through the COVID-19 pandemic crisis have been very much more restrictive than compared to Germany. Next slide. This has been just a few, giving you a few ideas about how we see with digitalization and real-time data the current situation of COVID. I would like now to hand over to Axel Jaeger for the presentation of the Q1 figures.
Thank you, Ralf. Good afternoon, everyone. We are now moving on with the financials of WashTec for Q1 2020. Effects of COVID-19 pandemic were clearly noticeable towards the end of Q1 2020. Next slide, please. In general, as most of you know, Q1 of WashTec is, in normal times, usually the lowest quarter, and business volume of WashTec is constantly increasing over the quarters of any given fiscal year, accumulating in Q4 as the strongest quarter. Regarding business activities in Q1 2020, we do see a noticeable effect on COVID-19 towards the end of the quarter, i.e., the COVID-19 impact in March 2020 is considerably stronger than in January-February 2020. COVID-19 started in APEC, i.e. in China. APEC revenues are on an annual basis roughly 4% of WashTec revenues, and therefore the impact on global business volume was limited. However, with COVID-19 arriving in Europe, which stands for more than 80% of WashTec annual revenues, the impact towards the end of Q1 2020 was material. Order backlog regarding the equipment and service segment is still above prior year. Free cash flow development was good due to the collection of accounts receivable from Q4 2019, which was the strongest quarter ever in WashTec history. Next slide, please. Revenue development compared to Q1 2019 was mainly driven by COVID-19 spreading over the world from APEC to Europe in Q1 2020. Impact on EBIT corresponds as stated with the regional segment sales volume. Good free cash flow development, again as stated based on focused dunning and collection process regarding accounts receivable built up by the end of Q4 2019. Next slide, please. Revenues in Europe below Q1 2019 due to country-by-country lockdown restrictions coming into full effect in March 2020. In particular, as a result of the very weak March in the European countries most severely affected by the crisis, Italy, Spain, France and Austria, first quarter revenue was noticeably down compared to prior year. APEC revenues are below Q1 2019. However, APEC at WashTec is in a sense China and Australia. The Chinese market is recovering again, but revenue there was nevertheless about 40% below expectations. North America revenues are above Q1 2019, since this region was not materially affected from COVID-19 in Q1 2020. However, as the crisis also started to spread rapidly at the end of the quarter, the first cancellations of already placed orders began to be received and the company reacted with extensive immediate measures. Next slide, please. EBIT development followed revenue development. Despite a 3.8% reduction in costs on a currency-adjusted basis relative to the prior year, it was not possible to offset the lost earnings contribution because of the lower revenue. The cost reduction related to personnel expenses, depreciation, amortization, and impairment, other operating expenses, and other taxes adjusted by the increase of foreign currency valuation. As of March 31, 2020, WashTec had 29 employees less than March 31, 2019. Next slide, please. Equipment and service revenue was down mainly because of postponed installations and a lack of service activities due to the local restrictions in various regions. The order backlog, i.e. equipment and service segment, at the end of Q1 2020 showed an increase compared to Q1 2019. Unlike in prior years, however, the order backlog provides limited indication as to business development in the months ahead. Given the current situation, this is determined less by the size of the order backlog and to a far greater extent by the various stipulations and restrictions in the various countries regarding logistics and installation works. In chemicals, revenue increased mainly due to the regaining of a contract with a key account in North America and a number of restocking orders from key accounts in Europe. Next slide, please. Gross margin increased mainly due to an altered product mix from 58.2% to 58.6%. Decrease in personal expenses was mainly due to a lower number of employees compared to prior year. and a lack of severance payment due to a change on the management board last year. Decline in EBIT is mainly due to the negative revenue development in Q1 2020, the 3.8% reduction in cost, e.g. personal expenses, amortization, depreciation, other operating expenses, on a currency-adjusted basis relative to prior year, could not offset the loss earnings contribution due to the lower revenues. WashTec responded to the COVID-19 crisis with extensive measures in addition to the existing cost reduction program. These include, but are not limited to, contingency plans, a capex freeze, and forward-looking measures to safeguard the company's liquidity. Next slide, please. Net operating working capital decreased due to the slower start of business in Q1 2020. Additionally, as a result of payments received for the exceptional strong Q4 2019, accounts receivable decreased substantially in Q1 2020. Net cash flow includes a prepayment of tax on investment income. A refund of the prior year payment will be received in Q2 2020. Due to COVID-19, a group-wide capex freeze was initiated. Therefore, cash flow from investing activities was significantly reduced. Bottom line, WashTec has responded to the crisis with extensive measures in addition to the existing cost reduction program. These include establishing contingency plans and forward-looking measures to safeguard the company's liquidity. Given the current uncertainty due to the spread of COVID-19 crisis, credit facilities have been increased by a further 35 million euros up to 122.5 million euros. Next slide, please. Guidance 2020. On April 3, 2020, the company retracted the guidance for the 2020 fiscal year. In view of the rapid global spread of the COVID-19 pandemic in recent weeks, in particular, related crisis measures taken by the various countries and their severe economic impact and the development of orders received for the second quarter, it is not possible to reliably estimate our business development in fiscal year 2020. In the currently rapidly changing situation, hence it is impossible to provide an updated forecast. Compared to the prior year, the company presumably anticipates an unforeseeable decline in revenue and EBIT. Next slide, please. Here we see the WashTec share performance, and that was mainly driven again by the COVID-19 pandemics and followed the development of the SDAX, which deteriorated significantly by 26.09%. Next slide, please. Here you see our financial calendar. As of today, publication of Q1 statement, next publication of half-year report will be July 28, 2020. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now to enter the queue. Once your name has been announced, you can ask a question. If you find your question is answered before it's your turn to speak, you can dial 02 to cancel your question. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. One moment before we put through the first question. The first question we have is from Eckhart Kult from Warburg Research. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. I have three questions. First of all, can you please give us a feeling about the decline in business you have faced in April? So, because I think in April, in all of your important regions, you had the negative impact from the corona disease. So this could give us maybe a better feeling what's going on in Q2 and maybe also in the third quarter of 2020. This is the first question.
Okay, should I? We'll answer this and then we go to the second.
Please.
April situation is like this, that compared to, and you're still somehow in April inside, that first of all, the vacations has been earlier, so when we compare week by week, the situation has been difficult. What we know, and we know this from the WASH figures, that Southern Europe is very restrictively shut down, and therefore also activities in sales and service are very restricted. However, when you look at the WASH figures which we presented, for example, in Germany, this also indicates that business activities were not as much shut down as we have had that in Southern Europe. At all, when we summarize this, the situation is, from the April data, very difficult to judge out of the situations. We closely have to observe when we come out of the lockdowns in Southern Europe, how these things continue. And of course, we have, and we are doing this right now, we are calling the customer to see, you know, what kind of restrictions which we will have in the future, or how we can release, let's say, and start installation in these areas. Again, we have basically there a weekly task force that is trying to push out the machines. Axel, you want to add things?
Okay. Then regarding the free cash flow, which was very impressive for the first quarter, but I think it was clearly in a result of your high business volume in the fourth quarter and late shipments in December, so it was not that surprising. What I asked myself in this connection is, is your former outlook on free cash flow of an improvement in 2020 compared to 2019 still valid, or is that also under review due to COVID-19?
Well, of course, we are constantly working on our free cash flow and on our performance to make it better, but it is retracted as the entire guidance for 2020. Officially, mm-hmm. But we are of course ongoing working on free cash flow, especially in this situation where, so to say, cash is king. So we are working on the financing side and on the side of optimizing net operating working capital.
Okay, so this probably means also that your CapEx spending will also be restricted at
we
least
do
for the time.
We have a freeze.
Yeah. Okay. So okay. And then lastly, your top-line development in North America was rather impressive in the first quarter. This was partly due to the win-back of a major customer in the chemicals business. I wonder how much of the increase was due to this single customer.
I think if we look at North America, especially in this Q1, there are two effects. First of all, yes, we regained the chemical contract, and the full effect of the chemical contract comes now because, as we mentioned before, the last quarter of 2019 and the first quarter of 2020, we are working at getting everyone in place and bringing all the different sites into organization. Second effect that helped us in North America was, of course, the work we spent during the last fiscal year to get more efficiency in this organization and to professionalize the organization. And last but not least, of course, North America is the last part of this planet that was hit by COVID-19. So I think we will see a stronger COVID-19 effect maybe in Q2.
Yes, it's very probable, I think. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Constantino from HSBC. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, hello. I'm representing Mr. Richard Schramm. I'm his working student, so I have also some questions for you. Like in North America, you had a very nice sales growth of more than 20% on the sales side. But the EBIT you reported, it's like it declined for about 10% compared to last quarter. Like, what is the reason behind that?
So first of all, we are still, as I mentioned before, we are still working on the reintegration of the chemical contract, and this will be finalized by the end of Q1. Second of all, we had some work to do for the with the execution of orders and execution of orders that were expected to come in the course of the fiscal year. And third of all, when I look at the EBIT, many of the efficiency measures that we initiated last year, they are now taking place, and we will see the full effect in the course of the 12 months of fiscal year 2020.
Okay, I see. So maybe another question about the chemicals business. You said that you had, like, from all the segments, like chemicals was the one that was like growing the highest. So the thing is, why couldn't you offset the loss you had this quarter by the strong growth of the chemical segment?
Well, overall, if you look at our revenues, the chemical segment is a nice segment because its after sales is very stable, and people tend to wash cars around the year if they are not restricted by measures like we see as of today initiated by COVID-19. However, it is a growing segment, and the segment is not large enough to compensate for losses in the machine and service segment.
Okay, this would be my question. So I thank you a lot, sir.
Thank you. The next question we have is from Alexandra Kalitsa from Hauck and Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you very much for taking the question. I was just curious if you could elaborate a little bit on the, you mentioned that you're going to accelerate the personnel adjustment program with further headcount reductions in the U.S. Could you just talk a little bit more, to what extent do you plan to do that, and what areas are you targeting there?
Okay, two things. The first advantage is, because of this headcount reduction program, we are already breaking, and breaking even harder is easier. Just to let you understand, our original goal was to go down by end of 2020 on 1,820 headcounts. And of course, many of those people already left the companies. The headcount is still in the data because contracts end and so on and so on. But the economic or the impact on the salaries and so on have been put into the accruals in 2019. At the end of the day, this program was also initiated to change skills, to put younger people in, and maybe to have the people who are closer to retirement helping them into this retirement setup. But since we have the situation of COVID-19, we stopped this phase, and basically these 1,820 are already in the books. Yeah, so there's additional measures which will then lower this figure of 1,820, the potential we're still working on. And it's a little bit too early to say, but as we announced, we have a strong restructuring effort in North America, and we had short-term measures taken, and I just put that figure out just to get you the idea about 30 headcounts in April, which you don't see yet in the data of March, but we acted there immediately, and of course are further studying, you know, how the situation will carry on, and working on the restructuring program. Does this give you some better ideas what I meant with that?
Yes, thank you very much. That's helpful. Maybe if you could also mention what areas or roles are you looking to reduce personnel in, admin or also sales, marketing?
At the end of the day, this whole headcount reduction program was meant to make flatter hierarchies, take hierarchy levels out, push people more into direct phases and so on. Of course, as usual, you have people leaving also direct sales or service positions, and due to the current economic situation, we are not rehiring those. Yeah, but in general, this is more or less was the strategy to support coming back to a double-digit EBIT based on the headcount end of 2017. Now, the next situation, what we're going to do with the current situation, this is scenarios which we talk basically daily about this, but it's too early to present. But as I said, it helps that we are already on the break because we just can break even harder based on how the idea which I gave you a minute ago.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then maybe also on the, you mentioned that you have seen already some order cancellations. Could you talk about whether it was from on part of key accounts or direct sales or just across the board?
So it definitely the key accounts, of course, review their orders also due to the situation of the oil price and the current overall situation. As we stop our CapEx and have a look at the economic situation, very similar things are done by the key accounts. We have not yet observed that by the direct sales, so there's always the question if financing on the direct businesses, so businesses who are not in big key accounts, is affected. So far, we have not observed this yet.
Mm-hmm. And then you mentioned already oil price. Could you potentially see that that would be detrimental for the key accounts business in the near term? Or how has it been historically correlated with the oil prices?
Well, in general, I mean, first of all, not all of our key account customers are big oil companies. But taking the fraction of the big oil companies, they are, in a way, of course, carefully if the oil price is at levels that we saw the last week. Yeah, so that's always difficult. On the other side, as you know, coffee and car wash is the most profitable thing you can do if you run a station. So, yes, they are the fraction of the big oil companies. They are carefully with CapEx spending. But in the end, if they evaluate their business case, then as I said, at any station, the car wash and the shop with the coffee is one of the most profitable things you can do. So we see. We see carefulness, but we closely monitoring the development over the next week.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Michael from Commerzbank. Please go ahead, sir.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my questions, gentlemen. I've got a couple of them left on the desk. I just want to ask about the wash figures, what you show on slide number 7. So are these your internal figures, what you presented to us, or are these industry-wide numbers? And would you also add the numbers to the vertical axis, or have you decided to leave them blank?
These are internal figures, and we intentionally changed or didn't show the y-axis. But you can see, of course, the differences in the different years. Usually when we look at those figures, you see the wash weather. So you see, let's say, pollution in the air or pollen flug, let's say, from the plants, which usually then helps in adding the washes. I just wanted to give you an idea that we use this basically real-time coming in data to manage the crisis. To my knowledge, there's no database which is officially available, as it's only our WashTec figures. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Then I would talk about your European business. So could you say which customer groups are currently showing say, the greatest reluctance to invest at the moment in new car wash equipment overall? And how does the low oil prices here impact the business here? So I would guess it would be a rather negative impact here, not a rather negative factor.
Let me just answer this twofold. When we look at the revenue, so the existing orders, and we explained that our orders on hand is above the orders on hand of last quarter, the current work is to make sure that these things get installed, having restrictions in the installation more in the south than in the north. I mean, this is what we presented. The other thing you're asking is then more or less a question about order intake. And I think at the beginning I answered the question already that the April is very difficult to read because of the Easter effect, Easter holiday effect, and the shutdowns in the combination. So the assessment of reluctance to invest is a topic which is for us a little bit too early. We of course do scenario plannings, but we will see more evidence in the first weeks of May where we have all these effects away and where we come back out of the lockdown and see what the interest of further investments are within the different groups of the OEM with the difficulties we just mentioned, that the CapEx is to a certain extent frozen at these customers and, for example, the direct customers. And one of the thing is that, especially in the last years, we made great success in increasing the percentage of direct customers compared to the OEM customers. Therefore, we really have to see how those direct customers come out of the lockdown and, you know, how much impact that made to them.
Yeah, sure, fully understood. But however, on the like, with respect to the direct sales business, do you see, so especially in Europe, do you see, I would say, now like an increased price pressure or like an increased competitive environment on the side of your direct sales business in Europe?
No. Do you want
to? Yeah, I mean, direct sales are usually individual operators. They plan such a project for a very long time. They have the financing, and they don't run big CapEx planning. So no, we don't see it. We see, so to say, thank God, in this area, business nearly as usual. Given that we are allowed to do our installation work, that's especially in northern Italy or in France, a problem if everything is ready and we cannot execute the installation, that are orders that are usually postponed until the restrictions are taken off and we can do the installation work.
Okay, fully understood. Coming to my question on Asia-Pacific on the business there. So in your presentation on slide number 2, you wrote that you sold machines in China almost at last year's level. However, if I remember in the Q1 report, you said that revenue in China was 40% below your expectations. So which line here is the correct one? And then I would also ask about your business in Australia. So I guess it's a roughly 50-50 split between sales in China and sales to Australia. So wouldn't it be a right assumption to make that there is a risk that demand in Australia would probably slow down now with the beginning of Q2, or probably also in Q3, in the light of the plunge in the oil prices?
Okay, let me take the first questions because this was on the slide related to COVID-19. And this is meant to be read like this, and I apologize if this was not the case. We might want to add on this before we put it online. The last year's level meant that coming out of the lockdown in China, we now see already, let's say, 80% in the months segment, that we're coming back on the machine level. That is what we meant about. And that's, let's say, then almost 4 years level. This is, of course, not an indication. And I indicated that in my reading, let's say, into my spoken words, that China is for us, when if there's no second wave coming in and things happening, something where we usually saw the last year's growth, and we might be able to come back there at the almost at the year's level 2019. But we will see. This is very premature. This is no guidance. But this also indicates that at least the Chinese market seems to coming back.
Okay, and maybe a few words on Australia. I mean, Ralf elaborated already on China. Overall, if I look at Australia, I can say that the order backlog in this year in Australia is better than before, and that we see, so to say, the fruits from our initiatives from the new managing director who did his work there for the last 12 months. So we are, in general, positive for Australia. However, no surprise, COVID-19 adds some uncertainty to the situation. So we have to see how it develops. But from the order backlog and from the organization, we have less people. They are working quite successful. Australia looks good. But we have to see what COVID-19 does to the region. But hope is that there is not a second wave.
Yeah, of course, makes sense. So just another question here about you booked $500,000 for impairment loss of trade receivables. What was the driver behind it? And might we see like more impairments on this line over the upcoming months?
Not necessarily. We did some impairment bookings based on the situation, but that was more of a standard, giving our evaluation. And we are very focused, especially in this situation, on dunning and collection. And you can see it in our number. Some accounts receivable may take longer, but we are after every single account receivable to collect it.
Okay, thank you. And do you have like, could you give a little bit of a guidance how much of other operating expenses you could probably save in 2020 compared to 2019?
I mean, that's an interesting question. I mean, I would suppose that our other operating expenses are lower because we cannot travel, we have no overnight stays, we have no flights. But on the other hand, is this good? I'm not so sure, because if we cannot travel, our sales people are not on the road. So yes, at least for the first half, I would expect operating expenses to be lower just due to the restrictions. But on the other side, I could live, so to say, with higher travel expenses if the revenue comes in and our sales force is on the road.
Okay, thank you. Then you talk about supply chain risks in the report. So could you say about the kind of production materials which are currently affected by a potential bottleneck and how many weeks they are left until you see difficulties in material procurement?
Okay, I think in the first part of quarter one, we of course had an eye on China. But since China is more local for local, we had the few materials where we also take out of China, out of our plant, to Czechin plant or to Augsburg plant, secured and came out there without any problems. The second phase of the first quarter, Italy came into focus. You know, northern Italy is basically the part supplier of the German Maschinenbau. And therefore, we managed all the things. We didn't have any difficulties yet. We had one supplier helping them to talk to the Italian government and so on. And with another supplier, we exchanged the part, which we could. But we managed without complications that. But of course, there had things to be managed. And we are glad that our Italian friends are now coming out of the lockdown and are back to business. And at least in Europe, this works well, that the supply chain is working.
Okay, thank you. So my last question would be on CapEx. Could you shed a little bit more light about where you see CapEx by the end of the year? So currently you spent 600,000 in Q1. So any hints where you might be at the end of Q4?
That's really too early. Basically, we stopped every CapEx. And then now we're releasing this, if at all, depending on the business situation. And the problem right now is that April, coming out of these lockdown, the business situation is, when we just look at the last weeks, is severe. And of course, that will change. And we have to get a little bit more in May and June. And if we see possibilities to use CapEx to let's say, speed up innovation and come back out of this crisis, we will use that. But these are discussions, and as usual, that's not a lot of CapEx we are using up there. So our prognosis by the end of the year is very difficult. For the moment, everything is shut down.
Okay, but might this impact your introduction of the smart care car wash products in the two course? So the no, okay.
No. It's more like, what can we add to things on that? But, you know, these are ideas, as I think every company would like to make the use of such a terrible year, not being remembered as the year of shutdowns, but being the year of maybe introducing something. And so we're working on things, and the smart care is not affected.
And I can assure you, of course, we do a CapEx freeze, and cash is king, as you say. However, we don't do stupid things. So if we see unavoidable investments, or if we see that we need here and there investment to bring our business or make our business more successful, then we'll do it. But the selection criteria and the process is much more strict than it was before.
Okay, perfect. I will go back to the queue. Thank you so much for your answers and have a good time.
For your questions.
Thank you. The next question we have is a follow-up from Alexandra from Hack and Afhafa. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much. One follow-up on the smart care product portfolio. You were targeting, I think, the first shipment in Q1, Q2, if I remember correctly.
Q2,
okay. Could you mention if that's still happening, or has there been any cancellation so far on this side of things?
No cancellations, more or less we have to see whether the orders can be installed. Same problem as we used to work on this. And currently it's a fine-tuning in the sense, short-term work and so on, and shutdown days to accomplish the goals. This is maybe a little bit conflicting, but this is fine regulation. So no impact.
And what countries were they meant for, those machines, the first ones? The first deliveries?
Europe.
You're able to share that. Okay.
It's basically Europe. Yeah.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you have any questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There'll be a short pause to see if we have any final questions in the queue. At this time, we have no further questions from the audience. I'll hand back to the speakers if there's any closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for attending the Q1 call. I wish us all good health for all us and our families, and talk and see you later in the next future. Thank you very much. Greetings from Augsburg.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect. Have a great day or afternoon ahead. Thank you.